learning beyond boundaries, I want to read you two verses from Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Very simple words, you'll know them well. If you haven't got your Bible there, just listen. One day, after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labour. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Glancing this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. I believe by his actions in that moment, Moses declared his boundaries. Now let me tell you how I believe he did that. I believe he declared that he accepted certain limitations. I believe he accepted limitations about his own personal beliefs on what could happen. I believe he was accepting limitations about God and who he was and what God would be able to do. He accepted limitations about the fact God's people were in captivity and they looked likely to stay there unless someone humanly intervened. And I think he was saying, I'm God's man, and if I don't do it, it's not going to happen. And I think Moses was declaring that he had hedged in the whole of what might happen in the history of Israel in certain prescribed areas, and I believe his actions at that moment set some very clearly definable limitations. And I wonder if we ever stop and think whether our actions don't do exactly the same thing. Whether we are not guilty of defining limitations and saying to God, these are the limitations, and outside of these areas it's just not going to happen. As I've looked back over the time, and before I left Tasmania, I wrote a paper on the things that had been happening in Tasmania over the last 20 years. One of the answers or one of the convictions I came to and shared with them in that paper was that we as churches had for a long time been doing well in what we could do with human ability, but we had not been looking to the limitless nature of God and saying, God, you can do things far beyond that which we simply accept and do with our human ability. And I wonder if that's not true of a lot of us, that we have established boundaries of saying, if I can do it, I'll do it well, I'll organize it, I'll agonize, but it won't be done in human capacity, and we will leave the divine element too often on the perimeter. Well, God had to deal with Moses. The year of 40 has already been mentioned, and I wonder whether it's got any symbolism. For I want to tell you, God had to get Moses on a 40-year learning curve. I hope it doesn't always take us all that length of time sometimes to learn the lessons of what are God's limitless boundaries. Will you come with me on a journey with Moses as we flip very quickly through some of his experiences during 40 years in which God had to show him that we can live and learn beyond boundaries when we really get serious about God. In Exodus chapter 3, we find Moses at the burning bush. There, I believe, he had to come to learn something about the true nature of God. He'd limited God back in Egypt. He'd held God constrained, I do believe. But there at the burning bush, he had to learn the holiness of God. Get your sandals off, man. You're on holy ground. He had to learn something about the awesomeness of God as he saw a bush that burned but did not burn. He had to learn something of the majesty of God in the midst of his creation. He had to learn something about the approachableness of God, and yet the fact that God, while approachable, is totally unfathomable. And Moses there in the desert has to suddenly learn he's got to get a big view of God. Does God need to start with us at that place before we'll shift the boundaries? Does God have to start with us before we stop limiting Him? When we learn something about the bigness and the majesty and the awesomeness of our God. As we go on into chapter 3 of Exodus, Moses has to learn that he's got to stop arguing with God. If you look at chapter 3, verse 11, he argues with God and says, "I'm not the right man. Can't possibly be the man you want for this task." Chapter 3, verse 13, he argues with God saying, "Who will believe me when I say I come from God?" And in chapter 4, verse 1, he argues with God saying, "What can I do that can convince people that I'm your servant?" What's Moses saying? He's saying, "God, I know better than you. I know what the boundaries are. I understand it all." Gordon Moyse said the other day about some treasurers, they can see where it's going, but they can't see where it's coming from. We know. And the further we go down the track, the more we seem to think we know it. I've got news for some of us who are getting old. We've got to learn that God is the one who knows. And when God says it, I believe it, and that settles it. We've got to stop setting boundaries. Moses then, in chapter 4, had to learn that he had to give to God absolute obedience. There's a fascinating passage in chapter 4, verse 24. Moses has finally stopped arguing with God. He's going back to Egypt, going to do what God tells him to do. And we're told that as they camp by the night, God appears and he says, "Moses, I'm going to kill you." Hey, woo woo, Lord, what are you on about? The answer is quite simple. Moses has been disobedient to God. First of all, he's married a Midianite. That had some problems. Second, they had a son. And because the wife did not like the act of circumcision, Moses said, "That's fine. I love my wife better than I love you, God. And I'll do what my wife says, and I won't obey you." And disobedience to God, my brothers and sisters, doesn't matter who's doing it, is sin. And Moses sinned against God. And unconfessed sin set up barriers and stopped the potential of what God might do. And Moses had to learn, you obey God, you do not disobey, you confess sin, and you get things right with God. And Moses and Zipporah did it that day. Fourth thing that Moses had to learn is that no one sets limits to God's boundaries by opposing him. When he got back to Egypt, there were those who opposed Moses in what God had said he should do. When Moses performed the miracles God said, the sorcerers came in. Now it's fascinating to read through the 10 things that happen. All I can tell you is go away and read them. But the first time Moses does something, it is imitated by the sorcerers. By the fourth time, the sorcerers cannot repeat what Moses has done. God's got him on a learning curve. I'm going to take you and lead you and show you. And between the ninth and the tenth occasion, we read these words that Moses was highly regarded by them. Change of attitude, isn't it? They opposed God. And God breaks down the opposition. There's Pharaoh, who shows a hard heart, who then vacillates but finally succumbs. Moses has to learn that it doesn't matter who opposes God. When God says there's no boundary, there's no boundary. The fifth thing I want to say about Moses is, it takes a long time, but finally he learned his lesson. Finally there came that moment when on the mount, and though he couldn't see God face to face, he met God. He came to know God in a new way. God came to possess his life, and his whole life reflected the glory and the majesty that was God. You know about him having to veil his face. It was when he came to that relationship with God that he knew there were no boundaries. God had had him on a 40-year learning curve. But I want to say these are the things he had to learn, but there's a very important question. How did he learn it? And the answer is simple. He did not learn it in the school of theory. He did not sit down and listen to lectures about it. Tragically, that's where evangelical Christians so often make their mistakes. The boundaries come because we sit and say, I must go to another seminar and another seminar and another seminar and I must learn more. My brothers and sisters, I want to tell you that with Moses, he got on a learning curve when he got out and he walked with God. And when he obeyed God, when he listened to God and journeyed through 40 years of experience of doing what God said and being the person God wanted him to be. As ye received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. And our life is a walking and a learning and the discovery that God has no limits happens in the doing, not in the theoretical learning. You want to know how to do evangelism? You do it by doing it, not sitting in a classroom. You want to prove God in all his depths and lengths and breadth and height? Then you've got to do it. Had Moses stayed in Egypt, he would never have learnt that God has no limitations. But he got up and he went out and he walked and moved with God. I simply want to close this morning by asking a series of questions. How many of you remember the telegraph? Oh, well, that's not too hard. But how many of you remember Old Bung's column on the front page? Come on, if you can remember the days when it had Old Bung's column, put your hand up. Down the right-hand side of the telegraph, it had Old Bung's column. In January of 1952, just before I went into ministry, it had the thought for the day across the bottom, and it was this. Fear knocked at the door, and faith opened it, and there was no one there. What fear is shackling us and setting limitations upon what we believe about God and what we're prepared to get out and expect God to do? Is it that we have not got a big enough view of God? Is it that we are afraid of what God may ask us to be and do? Are we afraid to acknowledge the sin and failure in our life? Are we afraid that Satan's powers that oppose us are too great? Are we afraid to meet God and let him indwell us? And let the majesty and the radiance and the glory of God fill our souls. There's a price at that. But it's got to happen. It's got to happen if we're going to be people of God. I simply ask us today, will we be a people who have such utter confidence in our God that we will learn to walk with him and know that when we walk with our living, omnipotent God, there are no boundaries to what the people of God can accomplish by the grace and power of that indwelling God.